Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are now studying in Revelation Part 1, and today we are in Lesson 9, and this lesson is verses 14, is Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22, and this is the message that Jesus sent to the church at Laodicea. Now, here we see in our study that Jesus is in the midst of the seven churches, and he holds in his hand the seven angels of the churches. And before we get into the study today, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, that you gave it to Jesus. And Jesus, in this study that we're in today in Revelation, that Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John and told him to write it down. And we're so thankful that he wrote it down, that we today can read your word and be taught by your Holy Spirit. So we do ask, Father, that you will teach us today your precious word through the Holy Spirit, and give us the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we may live it out to glorify your name. So we know that in this study that this is the last of the seven churches. First, the letters went to Ephesus, the first church, and then the next church was Smyrna, and the third church was Pergamum, and the fourth church was Thyatira, and the fifth church was Sardis, and we studied in our last lesson the sixth church, which was Philadelphia. Now then, we are looking at Laodicea, and we know that the seven churches were all located in Asia Minor, and today that is modern-day Turkey. And so, as John wrote this down, he was the last surviving disciple. And he was the one that Jesus loved, that Jesus entrusted the care of his mother, Mary. And we have learned in our study, it's a prophetic book in picture and language. It's visionary. And John was exiled to Patmos, this island of Patmos. And he was eventually released, and he moved to live in Ephesus, and that's where he died, was in Ephesus. Now, let's look at Laodicea, where it's located, and a little bit about its history. We learned that it's located about 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia, the other church that we studied last lesson. Laodicea became the wealthiest of the cities in the area and in the commercial center. But we find that banking was one of the three main sources of wealth, and the others were wool and medical school producing medicines, and especially medicines for the eyes. Now, Laodicea was a result of the spreading of the gospel by Epaphras, and that's in Colossians 1, verses 3 through 8, and chapter 4 of Colossians, verses 12 through 13. Now, I want to read these verses of the message to Laodicea, starting in the third chapter, verse 14 through 22. Verse 14, to the angel of the church in Decia Wright. Remember, this message was given by God to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angel that was over the churches of each of these seven churches. And John was told to write it down. So, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this: I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we see in these verses of another letter to the church of Laodicea that Jesus began his letter with a description of himself, as he did in all the other letters. And he ends with the same saying that he gives to all the other churches. And that's in verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, here we want to look at the description first of Jesus. Jesus says that he is the Amen, he is the faithful and true witness, and he is the beginning of God's creation. Now, seeing that he is the beginning, he is the beginning of God's creation. And he says that he is the Amen. Now, Amen means sure and truly, truly indeed. So Jesus is opposite of what the people in that church were. And then he said that, I am faithful and true witness. A witness is one that has information or knowledge of something, and hence he's one who can give information, he can bring light, or he can confirm something. That is being a witness. And we see in John 1:18, Jesus witnessed of the Father. I'm going to read John 1:18, and this is the speaking of Jesus. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So no one has seen the Father. He is saying that I am the one that has seen, I am the witness that has seen the Father. Now let's also look at John 14, verses 8 through 12. Philip said to him, speaking to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, to Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show me the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So here we see that he spoke the Father's works, and he did words, and he did his works. He testified to the churches and to everyone who reads Revelation, the words of God, which are faithful and true. And in this message, he calls attention to the certainty of his words, his witness to the church. Now, the beginning that he spoke of in speaking, that he was the source of the creation. I want to read John 1, verse 1 through 3, that tells us that Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, Jesus, and apart from him, nothing came into being that had come into being. So we see here that the Laodicean church had heard this because they had read Colossians 1. And in Colossians, he saw that he was in the beginning. But they had taken heed not to the word that was written. So they had not listened to what was written in the book of Colossians. So now this, as we see the description of Jesus, he goes on, and in this part, we want to look at the commendation made, but we don't find any. He says, Jesus knew their works. He said, "I know your deeds." So knowing the deeds, he cannot find anything to commend them. So some of the churches, Jesus commended them for their works and their good deeds. But here we see in Laodicea that he couldn't find anything to commend them for, to give them praise. So there had to be reproof. And this is what he tells us in the scriptures. "Because you are neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say you are rich and wealthy and have need of nothing, but you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So, here in the reproof, we look at some of the other churches of their reproof. We go back to Ephesus, and Ephesus had left or abandoned their first love. And then some in Pergamon held to false teaching. And most of Thyatira had been led astray to immorality, and they held on to false teaching. And then in Sardis, we saw that it was a dead church. Their deeds were not complete. So only Smyrna and Philadelphia were found faithful in tribulation, and they were given no reproof because they were faithful. Now, in the beginning, we see that in verse 1, that the church was lukewarm, Revelation 3. It was neither hot or cold. And so that was kind of the water situation that was found in Laodicea. They were neither cold, refusing the gospel, nor hot, zealous for the gospel. In other words, they were not accepting the gospel. And Jesus said in verse 16 that he would spit them out or vomit them up out of his mouth because they were lukewarm. Now, the water that came into the city, because it had to be brought in by aqueducts, and by the time it reached the city, it was lukewarm, and that's what the expression come for. And then he goes on in verse 17, and he says that they say that they are rich. And he said, but you're not, you're poor. You're like a beggar, so poor that you're destitute. And the sad thing about it was they didn't recognize it. They said they didn't need anything, but it was just opposite. So from this text, it looks like the people in that church could you say that they had a relationship from this text? Does it look like they have? Not from what he said about spitting them out of his mouth. They were not only poor and wretched and miserable and pitiable, poor, blind, and naked, but here they were standing outside of the church of Jesus because of that. Let's look at scripture in Romans, what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with the flesh, the law of sin. So here we see that this is exactly where they were. They were in the flesh, and that's what Paul said, that as a man in the flesh, that he was dead. But only, he said, thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that he has been set free from that death. But he said, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. So he's saying that I have in my mind accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So spiritually, I am alive because of my faith and by the grace of God. But he said, in this flesh that I'm living in, I'm still following the law of sin. So there is a warning then for those there at the church at Laodicea. And we see that what he has given to them is the warning and the instructions. As we look at these verses, he says, let's look at verses 18 through 20 of chapter 3 of Revelation. Verse 18, I, Jesus, advise you, Laodicea, to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And I say, to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Okay, so what he's saying then, gold is perishable, but the gold that he wanted them to buy from him was refined by fire. It was pure. It was pure because it was from him. So let's look at some scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Starting in the 6th verse, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So, what he is saying here in these verses is that gold is perishable, but the gold that Jesus can give to them, he's saying that he wanted them to buy from him. This was refined by fire. It was pure. So what it is the faith that they take to believe that Jesus died for their sins. And that is the gold that's more precious than natural gold. The gold that he offers is everlasting life. And he says, it's been tested by fire, and it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. He's saying that when I come back to set up my kingdom, you will find that the faith, this gold that I offer you, it's been tested, and when I come back, you will see that in a result of praise and glory and honor at my revelation. And even though he said that you haven't seen me, you still love me. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining to the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So, where are these people now that he's talking about here? He's saying that you need to buy this gold from me. How do they purchase it? They purchase it by faith, and God gives them the grace and the glory to understand it. And then he goes on to talk to them about something else that they needed to buy from him, white garments. So what is he talking about when he says white garments? Let's look at Revelation 19, verses 8 through 9. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen,
bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Now, the black wool of their city made fine garments, but they needed pure white wool. Only Jesus can provide that, and that is the righteousness of God. That is what it's referring to, these white garments. In Revelation 6:11 and 7:9 and 19:8 describes these white clothes. Let me read Revelation 19:8 and 9. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. And then he said to me, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the words of God. So that's what I had read previously, but that's what it's referring to. It's referring to the righteousness of God. And those fine garments that he's talking about, that they need, these white garments are garments of righteousness. So then he goes on to say that they need Asaph. Now, we need to understand what this means when it talks about the Asaph. The Asaph was needed from the Lord because they were blind. They were spiritually blind. This city, Laodicea, was, as I said earlier in the history, they were noted for their fine medicine, and one of them was Asaph that was good to help heal the eyes. But Jesus is saying that they need his eyesalve, and that is spiritual eyesalve that will heal their eyes from not understanding the truth. They need spiritual eyesalve. Let's read some scripture, and it will give us a little more understanding about the spiritual eye in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So, here Paul is saying to the Corinthians that if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, all unbelievers, they cannot see. They are blinded in their minds. And he's saying that in order for them to receive their sight, they have to understand the gospel of the glory of Christ, because he is the image of God. And Paul goes on to say, we preach Christ Jesus as Lord, because we are just bondservants of Christ. And so in order for these at Laodicea to receive their sight of understanding, to have eyes to understand the truth, they have to have the knowledge of Christ. They have to repent of their sins. So the god of the world is the devil, and he is the one who has blinded the minds of those that are unbelievers, and they can't see the light. Now, some more scripture that we can look at is Matthew 23, verses 16 through 19. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? So Jesus called the religious leaders blind guides because they were leading others when they themselves couldn't see. So let's go on and read some more scripture, and we will see how that Laodicea could take these blinders off their eyes. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. So, there's no cause for those that are thirsty, for those that are true, and that really seek true satisfaction. That's the water of life. Only God can give that. And they were seeking all of this through the world and not through trusting in the Lord. Now then, one more scripture here in Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There's no cost to the one that's thirsty, and for the one that's truly seeking the salvation of the Lord. That is eternal life. And that is the water of life. So they needed to see their need. You know, when a person is lost without God, they first have to realize and recognize that they need Him. And they needed to see that. They needed to see that for Him is what they need, and not focus on their physical and their material conditions. And the shame of their nakedness was exposed because they were living in sin, and it was exposed, and they didn't even know it. So they needed God's provision, not their worldly wealth. They were ignorant and they were blind. In other words, they were lost. They were dead. That's why that he said that they were dead. They were neither hot nor cold because they were completely dead. Now, in verses 19 and 20, we see that he talks to them about their love. The word love here in 19 is a filial love. That means affection. And Jesus was extending to them an invitation, but he was also giving them a warning in verse 19. He wanted them to be zealous for him, devoted to him, and not repulsive in their lukewarmness. But to do that, they had to repent. They had to turn from that lukewarm state that they were in. And he was outside the door of the church. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So here in these verses, he's saying that they needed to repent so that they wouldn't be judged. But he is saying that when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned with the world. And that's talking to believers. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, he says, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. He was outside the door of the church, but if an individual within opened the door to him, to Jesus, then he would save them. He would come in and he would sup, the scripture says, with them. Now, let's finalize our study in the churches. And the last one is what he says to the church at Laodicea, if they be overcome, if they repent and they conquer by their repentance and receiving Christ. Here we see the scriptures. Let's look at, he says, first of all, he would grant them to sit down with him on his throne. Now, some scripture that we want to see that pertain to believers that overcome. It's only believers that overcome and conquer. In James 5, verse 9, James says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And what he's saying here is that you need to love one another and not complain against one another. And then you won't have to stand judgment because you have become an overcomer. And in John 10, verse 3, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by his name and leads them in. This is those that hold on to the faith and become overcomers through their trials and troubles. Now, in John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. These are the ones that become overcomers and conquerors. And in 2 Corinthians 13 through 5, we want to look at this to examine our own lives. If we are lukewarm, or if we are overcomers, what does Paul say to the Corinthians? 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So what Paul is saying, not only to the Corinthians, but to us, and it applies, of course, to these in the church at Laodicea, because remember, the seven churches include us because we are the body of the Christ, the church is his body. And Paul's saying that we need to test ourselves to see if we are truly in the faith, and we need to examine our own lives. And then he goes and asks this question. He says, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? So if we test ourselves, then we will know if Jesus dwells within us. If we look back at all these seven churches and see the things that Jesus saw in the churches that they needed reproof, and the things that he saw that he gave them, he commented or gave them commendation, and then the promises that he gave to each one if they became overcomers. That is to us today. 1 John chapter 2:19. He talks about the ones that were not faithful. In verse 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. That was John, the same John that wrote the book of Revelation and the three epistles of John and the book of John. And he is saying that they were those that were in the church, but they were not really a part of us. It says they had been there, but they went out from us. He says they would have remained with us, but they went out. And the reason they went out, because they were not truly all of us. So that's why it's so important that we continually pray and search out our faith. In Paul's writing, he says that we should test our faith. We should live it out. He said to know if we are truly of him. And in looking back through all of our study that we have had so far in our study of these churches, there is so many promises given if we're faithful. And our next study in Lesson 10, we'll be studying the overcomers. We'll have a complete study lesson about the overcomers, about the ones that truly overcome. And that way we'll be able to examine ourselves and see if we are truly of the faith and if we are truly overcomers. And I pray that we'll all continue to be prayerful and pray for one another and pray for me. I need your prayers. So let us close. Heavenly Father, I do pray that from our study in the seven churches, which includes all church body that is made up of Christ today, that, Father, it's opened our eyes, that we have received your eyesalve, your word to teach us the things that we're disobedient in, because As Paul said, we're still living in the flesh. Our mind is on you. And because of our faith in you, we have the mind of Christ. But we're still living in this body of flesh. And this body of flesh is very sinful. That's why that Jesus came and went to the cross and died for our sins, that, Father, we might receive a life everlasting, that we might be changed, that we might be washed of our sins, and that you would place in us the Holy Spirit and clothe us with righteousness as we look to the day, Father, when we will be in your presence. And my prayer is that each and every one that is listening to your word today, that we will examine ourselves. And if we, Father, haven't purchased the gold, your faith, and received your grace, if we have not been washed, Father, by your word, I do pray, Father, that you will give each one that has not accepted you of the knowledge and the wisdom and the faith to repent and receive you. And I ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.